Started from the bottom, now we're here. Started from the bottom, now the whole team here. Started from the bottom, now we're here. Started from the bottom, now the whole team walking here. Buy a chopper and have a doctor on speed dial, I guess. Massific. 6 foot, 7 foot, 8 foot bunch. Six foot, 7 foot, 8 foot bunch. Young Money Militia, and I am the commissioner. You don't want to start wheezy, cause the F is for finisher. Panda, 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 panda. They mad, they ain't famous. They mad, they still nameless. But we still hood famous. Yeah, we still hood famous. They mad, they ain't famous. They mad, they still nameless.
All right,
but
folks.
We still hood famous. Yeah,
welcome into episode 48. That was an abrupt ending. Episode 48 of the Fourth Official Podcast.
48.
48. We're closing to 50.
What are we going to do for 50?
We're going to get Brent back on the show.
That's not going to happen.
We're going to save episode 50 until Brent comes back, which might be like, I don't know, a year.
So if we don't put up a new episode for a year, it's because we're out in Afghanistan trying to rescue Brent from ISIS.
Yeah, I just want to, we're going to make it clear. We have Mike Ramajo here. He covers Orlando City for the Orlando
City. I was
going to
do
Journal.
Like a whole intro so,
but
thing
for I just wanted to tell him.
Okay, fine.
For so you don't know, Brent Pacus used to be on our show. He was captured by the ISIS hurricane. And he's been in holding for about a year now.
No. He was captured by ISIS, and they used the hurricane to do it.
Holy crap.
Yes. Yeah, it was an ISIS hurricane.
Stay woke, folks. Hey, and Brad Newton, he's joining us via
the
Skype channel.
Sleeper cell hurricane.
Via satellite. I'm here.
Hi.
Howdy, y'all.
Hi, Brad. How's it going?
The lab.
How's spring training
going? It's currently downpouring down in South Florida right now, so.
It's doing that here, too, so.
Yeah, I actually dropped my iPad in a large puddle on the way up to the studio.
Just going to let everyone know that, huh?
Yeah.
Make everyone feel bad
for
you.
Yeah, for those of you guys at home, I mean, I'm on an iPad today, so if I seem a little slow, just know I was born this way. But the iPad itself might cause
a direction.
Gavin's
not above cell phones, so it's not, you know.
I mean, it is what it is at this point.
All right. Well, first of all, Mike, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for joining us. Our first actual guest in 48 episodes.
Well, we've been trying to get on this for a minute.
Credibility for being on this show.
Yeah, this is not going to, like, you know, the Colbert bump. This is the opposite of that.
Okay.
This is actually what people do when their careers are already at rock bottom, and they're like, how much lower can it get?
That's how we actually got Lindsay Lohan on that one episode. People didn't know that, but she was here.
Jesus. It sounded like it was Brent back in the day. It was really Lindsay Lohan, incredibly coked up.
Holy shit.
Welcome to the show, Mike. This is as good as it gets.
Oh, man.
Kyle has reached out to Milo to be on next week.
No, we're not going there. We're going to go soccer.
That's a touchy subject.
We're talking soccer. This is what we're going to do.
I don't kid around with that.
All right, we've done our usual like 3 minutes of riffing.
Uncle Gav approves of that joke.
So let's get into some soccer. First off, let's talk about Orlando City scrimmages. So they played Toronto FC on Sunday twice. Starters played 90 minutes, and then the reserves played 90 minutes. They lost both games. That was weird.
So whether or not they played is actually debatable.
We were there. So, like, they definitely played. I'm hearing echoing from you now. Anyways, 3-1 was the final in the first game, and then 4-0 the final in the second game. Mike, you were there with me.
Yeah.
What did you see?
I mean, it's still a team that kind of needs to get, you know, some type of something going.
They got to figure things out.
Exactly. And like you wrote on your piece yesterday.
Mm-hmm. On themainland.com.
Yeah, some free promotion. but when you look at it, you know, there's some things that need to be worked on. We saw Rivas and Kyle Aaron play up top together.
Kept running into each other too.
So that's something that needs to get, you know, something that they need to work on that, because come March 5th, if, you know, we fans start seeing that type of, I guess, product on the field, I mean, it's going to be a long season, you know.
Yeah, they're going to freak out more than they did after they saw the results of the last game.
Say, they're already freaking out from games they haven't watched yet.
I think there was some positives.
Everyone who was there and saw the game saw positives. Everyone who followed along on Twitter and just saw the goals being scored, they're like, oh my god, this team sucks again. why are we bothering?
Yeah, I mean there were positives and there were negatives. I mean, the positives is, I mean, the back line is now, you can kind of make an argument that...
Oh, they marked Giovinco and Josie
Altidore.
Yeah,
they held it
well.
Down. And like Jason Kreis said, you know, those goals came in the early minutes of the game and then the last minutes of the game. So,
and in both games, too.
So right there, it kind of, you know, you
did
look...
It? That's when those goals were scored?
The first 5 minutes and the last 10 minutes.
Because that was a known problem with the team last year, and Kreis even addressed that after the DC game, and he said it's not something he has an answer to as to far... Yeah. You know, he could say things in the locker room, but getting the players to go out there and actually be prepared from the moment the whistle is blown is a different story.
Then
that was
that,
a problem that they really dealt with last year.
And then you get that curveball thrown at you during that Sunday game when Rafa Ramos gets injured, which we know now it's a hamstring injury.
Double
hamstring. So it's like you saw one negative thing and you see a curveball just get thrown at Jason Kreis. He throws in a Montverde kid and... You know, he held it down. You got to give him his, you know, his props. But
Jules Yeomeni, yeah, he looked very promising for an 18-year-old kid who was thrown out there to the wolves, essentially. And going back to the whole issue with like the beginning of the game and everything, Toronto plays a 3-5-2, which really Orlando hasn't come up against. So it took them a little bit of time, and you saw it like towards the end of the first half and all of the second half. They dominated the game because they got used to seeing what they were all about in that 3-5-2, how they attacked. And they figured out how to defend them well, how to stop them on the counter, and then also to work throughout the midfield and actually get attacks going.
Yeah.
So it just took time to recognize how they played. But once they recognized it, you could see like an instant switch turned on in all of their heads. And so many chances were created in that second half for Orlando. And it really looked like they were the better team. And then the last 5 minutes, they turned off again and let in 2 goals. But you see the product getting better on the field. And that's what you kind of hope for in preseason. Because, again, preseason results, and I can't harp on this enough, they don't matter. They do not matter. They don't matter.
I mean, Servando Carrasco said that earlier this morning. I mean, it's
well, I mean, they play to win the game, Austin. I don't know what you mean.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, you're right.
I know he just said that these don't matter, but last year they also played Toronto FC to a 2-1 victory in a preseason match. And Kaká had a brace in there, and both of his goals were set up by...
Well, one was a penalty. I was at that game.
Yes.
Yeah, so. Yeah. The Kip Molino drew a penalty,
yeah.
But then the first goal that he scored,
that?
It was basically, you know, pretty much everyone was so excited to see Kip Molino come back because it was like a preview of what was about to come in the upcoming season. And now Orlando doesn't have Kevin Molino. So it's going to be kind of interesting to see how that attack gets set up moving forward.
I mean, yeah, you're right about that. Cause Molino was the creator, you know, the guy who kind of pulled the strings in the midfield.
I think you look at, if you watch Minnesota's preseason games now, he's been one of their best players in these games.
Still, it's just preseason. Remember that.
But that's not to say that Kaká can't be a playmaker. Cause naturally he is a playmaker, yeah. But
and
now
I'm
you start thinking whether Kreis is playing him out of position because he's playing wide left.
He's played wide left before at Real Madrid, but again, he was not very successful
Does that put him in the position to create goals?
Kaká play you want to go with. You want to use him how he's used at AC Milan. And...
Yeah. And again, like you said, you want him more central, I think, in the attack, but it was interesting what Jason Kreis said after the game. He said, when asked about the 4-4-2 and if that's the formation they're going to be running, he said, this is what we're going to be running for now. He thinks that the 4-4-2, the flat 4-4-2, works best with the players that he has, and they'll evaluate it when it comes down to it, but that's what they're running for now.
It's one of those things where they're going to do it on a game-to-game basis, depending on who's available, who they're playing, what's running best for them at the time. We'll see a lot of different looks throughout the season. And, I mean, just the main point of this discussion is, as far as preseason is, yeah, the games don't count, but the results itself are not a big deal. What you're looking for in these preseason games are guys getting fit,
mm-hmm.
getting minutes together, adjustment, because obviously, like we said, they're running a new system. Everybody's still getting adjusted. And the back line has, four new faces on it this year, trying mm-hmm. to get it acclimated. Plus, you got Rafael Ramos keeps getting hurt. Tommy Redding's not even with the group right now.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking at a lot of different moving parts that are continuously moving. That they're still trying to get in place, and they still have one more game left. They still have 2 full weeks, a week and a half of preseason, and another game left to they probably won't solve all the problems, but they'll be as ready as they possibly can by March 5th. And you look around the league in general, it's not like every other team is anywhere farther than where Orlando City is. The first month or two of the regular season is going to be a slow start up for a lot of teams. Nobody, very rarely do teams jump out of the gate and look, you know, in form from day one. We see all the time where, you know, the Galaxy in 2014, where they were sitting outside of the playoffs and they went on an amazing run and won the MLS Cup.
And you can also pinpoint to the Revs, too, when they made that MLS Cup run. They kind of turned the season around in the summer.
Yeah, when Jermaine Jones came in and they signed and they went on
that
run.
And what about Seattle last year?
Exactly. So it's just the way the league is, the parity of the league is.
It's not even just soccer, though. I mean, it's any sport.
Yeah.
The first couple weeks in any sport are always rough. And the same can go whether it's football, baseball, basketball. Your team is going to look completely different weeks one and two and three than they are at the end of the season. It doesn't matter this early.
And you could say the same thing about having a great preseason. That doesn't mean you're going to be good in the regular season. You know,
LA Galaxy didn't add Landon Donovan until close to the end of the year, and they became a playoff team.
Look, we all know that's the only reason they were competitive last year, was adding Landon Donovan.
Yeah, obviously when Orlando City gets Chicharito this summer, things will change. But
it's actually Zlatan will be coming in.
That's good. He's got another year coming. It's Wayne Rooney. So,
yeah. Well, they're gonna have to steal him from China, though.
Sure, it's gonna be a part of the new trade deal with China. They have to. We'll give them cheaper shit.
That was all part of Trump agreeing with them. They give us China. They give us.
They give us China.
Yeah, I mean that works
too.
Yeah, we
get the Chinese Super League too.
I don't know if I want that.
I mean, some of the players from the Chinese Super League, like Ramirez.
Yeah,
Oscar.
Like three or four, but then all the rest.
You just pick. You pick the ones that you want.
It's like an expansion draft, essentially.
See, there you go. Once the league,
it's an expansion draft of like 300 players, and we're only going to pick like 10. Four.
Yeah.
Well,
let's say I'll go back to Brazil, then it's not going to matter.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, like half of them are Brazilian too, which is interesting. Anyway, quickly from going back to the scrimmages, Kyle Larin, he missed a lot of great opportunities.
A sitter too.
Yeah. Rivas put it on a plate for him on the back stick, and he skied it over everything into the parking lot.
You know, actually, the thing, you know, when I think about it, you know, because obviously there's a lot of fans that are on social media that are, you know, wanting to see some results and all that. Mm-hmm. Kyle Larin didn't score at all last preseason, and how many goals he ended up scoring.
14.
So preseason really isn't an indication of what the season's going to be like because he's already scored this preseason. So what is that? Does that mean he's not going to score at all?
Yes.
So it's,
no, absolutely it is. Think about it. The last two preseasons that Kyle Larin has had, he's not scored a goal.
Yeah.
And now he scored a goal, so it's all downhill from here.
Yeah. I mean,
think about how many baseball players bat 400 in spring training then drop 200 in the regular season.
So obviously, fans should temper their expectations for Kyle Larin because he's going to suck this
year. How many football teams have gone 4-0 and then missed the playoffs or go 1-3 and make a Super Bowl run?
I think it's just the speculation from fans that things are just going downhill. It's still too premature.
That and the fact that nobody's watching these games except for select media members. Man, nobody is actually seeing what's happening out there. Nobody knows whose fault it is.
And this is actually my first close scrimmage that I see.
Same.
Like exactly what we were saying about Servando Carrasco. I mean, he says it's you know, everybody blames the defenders. It's not. It's the defenders or it's the center backs. It's the defensive midfielders.
Everybody.
And he said it's the forwards as well.
Yeah.
It's everybody is contributing to the overall success of how the team plays in defense.
And we saw it in the Toronto game. Carlos Rios is getting back on defense.
Yeah.
He was back like...
I think he was the best player in the field.
He was absolutely.
I mean,
over and above.
Obviously, there were no goals, but... his presence was there.
Yeah. And I mean, his speed changed.
You know, it's
kind of
weird because
games.
It's like his presence was felt like you really. I mean, when I never would have thought that you would see Rivas be a factor, even though it was a losing result. But he, you know.
He was absolutely a factor. I mean, he changed the game for Orlando.
Well, he seems like he's playing with a chip on his shoulder. I mean, he said even after the game, you know, and even early in preseason, he said he wants to have a better season. He knows his last two seasons weren't great. He
scored what, three goals?
He wants to change that around. He literally said that earlier in preseason that he wants to score goals. He wants to contribute to the team more. He wants more playing time. And he honestly thinks that this year could be his year. And I mean, you can't really knock him for that. But you know, and he's kind of proving it little by little, even in preseason. So
yeah. Absolutely. So that's exciting.
I think watching this, you're going to see if that does come out to be the case, and you see a guy who takes a sort of play style, sort of way that Adrian Winter had last year, where you get a guy who's high pressure, sort of, you know, follows a lot of the ball and tries to press very heavy for possession. I think that's sort of one of the things that Orlando City has been lacking since Winter left. So if they get something like that back, it's definitely going to help. And if that comes from him, then by all means, that's pretty great.
Absolutely. 100%.
I mean, you're paying him a lot of money for that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah, I think that's kind of the reason why you're paying him that much.
That, so. And I think it'll be interesting to see what kind of what effect the new stadium has on the atmosphere and the intensity that the players want to bring out there on a daily basis.
Yeah. Playing on grass now, you know, yeah. More intimate.
Exactly.
It's more intimate now.
Very intimate. I mean, the space between the field and the fans is like nothing.
I think that's going to be
You can reach out and touch people.
I can't wait to experience a game in that stadium and just see what it's like, everything coming down on you. Because in the Citrus Bowl, you're just kind of among the noise. You're living in the noise in that stadium. Yeah.
The way that the Citrus Bowl is, it's not as steep as the new stadium.
It just bounces
it's
out.
It's just kind of like wide. Yeah. The new stadium's up.
Yeah.
So it's very much more
steepest
enclosed.
Steepest stands in MLS.
Well, I'll be seeing the stadium for like the next I'll be seeing the stadium now three times now this week. Ribbon cutting. Season open, the preseason game.
I might go to the kids versus pros game and just sit in the stands and enjoy it. That'll probably be my first like experience.
I'm still trying to coordinate a tour. So let's talk about the new stadium while we're on it, really quick.
Sold out two games already.
Yeah, that's the nice thing. But you know, people were complaining about how people bought tickets quickly and then are trying to resell them for a ridiculous amount of money. And people are complaining like, oh, we can't get tickets now because we're priced out. We can't afford it now. And how can you do this to your fans and like. Stuff like that. Some fans were going on rants about Lion Nation and stuff like that. So,
secondary market's going to be crazy in that first year. I say like two or three once you let the market level itself out.
Yeah. Once it becomes less of a spectacle as a new stadium.
But there is
I mean, if you're trying to go someplace that's, you know, you want to make it so that families and everyone else are able to go there and try to do it. But, you know.
Yeah. But the worry is that the stadium's not going to be ready in time. Like, people have been driving past it, and they're still, like, doing a lot of construction on it. And again, they play...
Well, I mean, like, I've heard it's like a beehive over there. There's a small army of workers just day and night trying to get it ready.
I mean, there's 3 days until the first real action on the field.
I wonder if he needs to pass his permits before they can open it.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Because I know there's most places that, you know, like... This is my initial assumption, you know. Yeah, I know... Because I'm just going by because it was an Applebee's. It just opened by my house, and when I went to the grand opening, I was like, you know, why? Because it took pretty long, and then they're like, yeah, well, it was already finished, but we couldn't open it until we passed these permits and all that. So I don't even know. I mean, it just kind of raises some questions there.
As long as you
have certain like you know fire suppression things and other safety features that are there. It's you can have it open to the public and still have, you know, different things that need to be completed. I know down here in Palm Beach, the Nationals and Astros have a new ballpark for spring training, and the construction on that isn't entirely finished, but they just had an open practice this last Saturday to the public. So it's not an uncommon thing for teams to have stadiums that are still either slightly incomplete still, if there's just sort of minor things that are around that you can still have people inside there and sort of work to completion on them.
And the thing is, I mean, no stadium has ever been built on time as originally planned, so these things happen.
I mean, they broke ground on the stadium in 2014.
They originally planned to be playing in that new stadium in 2015, in the summer of 2015. we're getting ready to open it in late February of 2017.
So again, just
I remember last year when people were talking about like going into the beginning of
the playoffs.
They're like, we're gonna. At first, it was at the beginning of the season we're gonna be playing in the new stadium. And then it was maybe by the playoffs. Now it's hopefully by the opening game. What's gonna happen if 2 days before they're like, shit, we don't have the permits, we're playing in the Citrus Bowl?
I think they're gonna play in that game regardless. There'll be no problems. Yeah,
I'm just saying, on Earth too.
Well, I mean, this is also just speculation that permits might be an issue. They could all be taken care of.
I mean, yeah.
You got a Trappist 1 and
you're going to have to expedite that pretty fast then.
Wait, what?
Trappist 1, man.
What is that?
Do you even space, bro?
Oh, not really.
So NASA discovered some new planets today that we're going to move to.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
I see.
There are at least 4 that we can inhabit.
Nice. How far away are they, though?
Like 40 light years.
Yeah, okay.
Look, man, if
that's a long time.
If how George long is Lucas a light year can put this shit in Star Wars, we can make it a reality. Just give NASA all our money.
It
just
was a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
Nobody in the country is going to get fed or have literally anything for the next like 5 years, and all of that money is going to go towards space travel so that we can.
But no, didn't you hear what Kyrie Irving said? The Earth is flat.
Yes, that I is irrelevant.
Had this argument with a friend the other day, and it's. That's the dumbest discussion ever.
Like NBA players are now.
He went to Duke, so it makes sense.
No, but like other NBA players are coming out and saying, like, yeah, we believe the Earth is flat too. Again, it's like Nick Young, so it's like you don't really
set the record straight right now. The Earth is not flat, guys.
Flat?
I'm just saying. I've been told a lot of things before in school that have turned out to be not true. I was told fluoride in the water didn't make animals gay. I have seen gay frogs having sex everywhere I go since they introduced fluoride into the water. That's a fact.
And gay frogs were the one that died at Sandy Hook, right?
No, gay frogs are the ones that set up the false flag at Sandy Hook.
Fucking Alex Jones. I
special advisors.
No
the
politics. No politics.
That's not politics.
That's not politics.
He just said special advisor to the president.
I know.
That's politics.
Earth is flat is not a politic.
No.
It's just it's a fake fact. It's an alternative fact.
Yeah. It's alternative fact. All right. Last thing about preseason. Results don't matter. Okay? That's the last thing we're saying about that.
I mean, they do to an
no,
extent.
No, they don't matter.
No, they don't.
Shut
no,
up. They don't matter. We're moving on.
They do when you're Atlanta and you give up your first preseason goal as an own goal.
Oh, my God. That was hilarious. Federico Higuain just stuck his foot out as the goalkeeper was trying to clear it, and it went in the back of the net.
It's almost like you could hear the Curb Your Enthusiasm theme playing as the goalkeeper tried to clear that ball.
Why has no one synced that up?
Imagine trying to describe the sadness of that if you're the Mouths of the South podcast.
Just, oh no.
They ran a poll.
Our team's bad.
They ran a poll the other day saying, is Florida a part of the South? And it was a resounding no by their fans.
I mean, to be fair, I don't consider Florida a part of the South.
Do their fans also believe that the Earth is flat? Because geography is not that hard.
Yeah, but it's not the actual South. It's like the proverbial
it's
South.
Capital T.
Yeah, I've lived in. I mean, as somebody who's lived in South. Florida my entire life, I almost very rarely consider myself to live in the South.
I put it to you like this: we have some pretty embarrassing Civil War statues that are around the state. So yeah, I'll put it in the South.
Yeah, and we also have all the stupid people that have all the craziest news stories come out.
We are Florida, man.
Yeah.
Well, that
just makes us North America's Australia.
Our police records are public. Are made public, so that's a little different, but
true. Very true. All right, last thing about Orlando City before we move on to other Orlando City stuff. Miguel Gallardo is back with the club. He has been hired as the sideline reporter. That is what I've been hearing. Mainly because
applying to be a sideline reporter?
He didn't have the tits for it.
Fake news.
Fake tease. That's what we needed.
Miguel Gallardo is the sideline reporter because he can speak Spanish and English that they can have the interviews
There are two ways you can become a sideline reporter. You can be a former player, and being bilingual obviously really helps,
especially in soccer. He's
a great choice. Yep. That's a really excellent choice. Or you can be an attractive female who can read a Wikipedia page about soccer.
Or you can be Paul Tenorio.
Well, he's probably somewhere in the middle. I'm not saying Paul Tenorio is an unattractive man, okay?
Yeah, you just checked off all three boxes when he mentioned Paul. Hey, Paul.
I mean, he's not a former player, but he's got enough history with the team.
He actually is a former player.
He's a former.
He played
professionally.
Right.
Right, yeah. I'm talking. Okay, I'm a former player, too. I played in third grade. I'm basically Brent Petkus right now. Except I've allowed less goals against Akron.
There it is. That's what I was waiting for.
I mean, he played at the Division I level, so it's kind of hard to knock against that.
I don't know if played really counts if you're allowing Akron to score like 5 goals on you every game.
It was one game.
I mean, Brent played.
He literally, in that season, he played 2-3 games.
To be fair, Brent played Division I soccer, and Kyle went to a Division I school for 3 months. So, I mean, it all
That's not true. It was more like 8 months. It's still a lot more than three.
But anyways, yeah, Gallardo back with the club.
Oh, happy nice margarita day, everybody, too.
Is it today?
Yeah, it's today.
Well, I don't like margaritas, right, but...
Post-show's going to be fun.
So Jimmy Buffett's going to play us out today.
Jeez. Oh, shit.
No.
I got $10 in Duffy's reward, so I can go over there.
Do they have one down in West Palm?
Yeah, they've got, like, several down here.
Really?
They have, like, deals with all the South Florida sports teams. It's kind of crazy.
Cool. All right. Time for some Pride. So, not too much news coming out of Orlando Pride as of lately. Besides the home opener that has been announced in late April.
The Washington
Spirit. That's right. Yeah. So well, that's the home opener, but then that press release is really weird. Because it's like, the headline says they're opening on the road, and that the lead is like
literally
opening home. So I got confused for a second. I was like, what?
The headline is Orlando Pride to launch 2017 home schedule on April 22nd.
And then they start with the home opener.
The home opener is April 22nd.
Well, their first game is in Portland.
Yes.
But they wrote that way down in the story.
On national.
I had to go digging for that little nugget.
Honestly,
there.
The only thing that got me about April 15th. Was the last line that said the Orlando Pride. Or no, it was in Orlando City. Orlando City, when they announced the sellout, they said something about the Pride that just got me.
Yeah. It was too precious.
The Orlando Pride who opened their home schedule April 17th or 25th or whatever 15th. It is.
The Orlando City Stadium is also home to Orlando Pride, who will launch their second National Women's Soccer League season at home on Sunday, April 22nd at 4 p.m.
Is it
p.m.
a who or is it a witch? I think you technically... That's just a weird sentence, the way they constructed
it. They said who.
Yeah. Shouldn't it be witch?
Kind of, yeah.
No, who seems right?
The Orlando Pride who?
Yeah.
Who?
I mean, Steph Cali did just get nominated for FIFA Pro Women's World 11, so there's that too.
Yeah, and she's close to re-signing. She hasn't re-signed yet. That was the other news.
Lisa Devanna.
Devanna
is supposed to rejoin the Pride at the end of the season.
She actually tweeted, so...
Well, didn't she just kind of get in an altercation?
She didn't get into an altercation.
She snuffed someone or something?
She hit somebody off the ball. It was like unnecessary roughness off the ball or something. She like ran up and pushed somebody from behind.
That was the semifinal game, right?
So, yeah. So, Women's Soccer Weekly tweeted out that Devanna wasn't going to be joining the club, the Pride, until the end of the season because she'll be in Asia. And then Devanna tweeted back to her, like, this is the first I've heard of this. So, we don't really know when she's coming back, if she's coming back.
The last thing I heard was that, you know, she could be considering retirement. But, I mean,
she's still got a lot of game in her left. Yeah. The few games that she played with the Pride, she was one of the best, like, dribblers on the team.
Well, she was the one. She came at a right time, but in terms
right time
of...
time to miss the playoffs.
Right, well, yeah. I mean, if she would have came a little earlier... I mean, it could have probably sparked something. But
exactly. So if you stick around for the rest of the season,
there's just too much international. I mean, which is nothing wrong with that, but there's just too much international players there that you saw what happened last year, the Olympics and all that. They left, and that really hurt the Pride.
That was just a really bad first year for the Pride, because any other year, like, you'd be fine, because there's like a few tournaments here.
Well,
and
you
there,
did see you did see, you know. If you were to ask me who's going to be, you know, impressive for the Pride in 2016, I never would have thought it would have been Kristen Edmonds or Jasmine Spencer.
Nobody did.
And they kind of just, they exceeded expectations. And I mean, they
defied expectations.
Yeah, that they proved me wrong. They just, you know, they kind of just set the bar higher for 2017.
Austin, I just got a text from Phil that says the check's in the mail.
What?
For the Defy expectations.
Oh, nod. Yeah. That's right.
But yeah, Allie Krieger and Alex Morgan were also named to that short list for the Women's World 11. So
I'm excited for Allie Krieger, too.
That'll be interesting.
Seeing Allie Krieger, I liked how Petty, the Pride's Twitter account, got when it was announced who their home opener was going to be, and that it was going to be North Carolina. Or no, Washington Spirit.
Yeah. She's playing against her former team.
Yep. That'll be interesting.
And then saw that Allie Krieger retweeted that same Petty tweet too. So this is going to be a very fun time for the Pride.
I think an interesting question with the Pride is, for that home opener last year, they set the NWSL attendance record. Do they sell out the home opener?
I think they can.
I think
without
it's very possible.
Alex Morgan.
I think it's
I mean, yeah. It's a new stadium. That's the draw for that.
You have
the stadium. You have Allie Krieger, who is another U.S. women's national team big name. You have renewed expectations for this team.
But is she as big as Alex Morgan? Obviously not.
No.
Oh no.
No one in women's soccer is. But
with the way the marketing team is, I mean, when they're gonna. You think
they'll sell out the new stadium for?
Maybe not sell, but do you think
they'll hit 20,000 again at least?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I mean, it'll look pretty full. I mean,
it's a smaller venue too, so anything will look pretty full there.
How about average attendance? I guess that's the question I pose.
12,000.
What was last year? 7?
It was about 6. Yeah.
It slowly tapered off once they started losing more and more games, and now it's Morgan wasn't showing up to games because she wasn't there.
I'd say about 7, maybe, is what the 7 or 8 is what the average is going to be this year. I'd say that.
I think it'll be interesting to see if the sellouts and the price gouging on Orlando City's games affects the Pride OCB, as in, all right, we can't get to this, but here's another team we can still support.
I think that's
the club we can still support.
That's the idea that they would
go to the
do.
Stadium.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I wonder if that'll be like, yeah, I mean, you guys can't go to an Orlando City game, but you can still support the Pride, which are, you know, as just as important.
I wonder if they're looking at the model that what Portland does.
Portland?
I hear, you know, the Timbers, they draw good attendance, but even the Thorn draw good attendance.
They
have the same
team.
Ownership, you know?
Yeah.
The Thorn average, what, 15,000?
Mm.
Something around that?
Yeah. Most in the league, definitely. And again,
there was this piece yesterday from the Oregonian.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and Portland's just.
Diego Valeri likes to go to the games and he embraces the city. You know, you saw a lot of Orlando City players.
Oh, yeah, he's been very supportive of the Thorns on social media.
Yeah, so
and Orlando City players have been. It goes back and forth. Pride players support Orlando City, and Orlando City players support the Pride.
Yeah, I mean they're all under one umbrella in Orlando City's
one family
club. Yeah,
one makes family sense. Define expectations.
Hashtag another check in the mail.
I just want
there
to
we
check,
go.
Man, so
we
I
just
hit
a lot this week.
We went from like $0 to like $1, 50 cents each time we say it.
That reminds me, here's $3.
It's kind of interesting, though. You see what Orlando City
you.
Be.
Gavin is currently paying Austin, and Austin is taking off his clothing. This
it's raining.
Weird.
It's raining inside now, man. Boys. Let's get weird. Weird Wednesdays, Kyle.
Man.
Right. It is interesting, though, that you see Orlando City B games. A lot of them are midweek. I mean, it kind of makes you wonder what kind of attendance they're going to draw.
I mean, if you're bored during after work one day.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the fun thing about OCB, too, is because now they're in the city, a lot more people have that option to where, like, if I live out near Daytona, so it's like if I'm bored and the Tortugas are in town, just like the single A baseball team, it's like, you know, hey, you want to go out and catch a game? It'd be the same way with OCB. I mean, they're cheap. It's just an outing at the ballpark. You don't necessarily care of OCB.
That's
games.
A good. I mean, and that if that right there, what you just said. I mean, if I'm Orlando City marketing team, I would literally target that type of demographic. You know,
hey,
those
busy
people.
Tonight? Yeah. No, you want to go catch a game? Yeah, let's just go head downtown. You go head down. You got Church Street there. Yeah. You have a good night.
Yeah, you go to UCF. You go to Rollins.
Unless, technically speaking, the Magic are going to be in the off season.
There's nothing going on during the summer.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the Predators are no more.
Right. There's literally just concerts going on.
You kind of look at it from the Solar Bears model, where they have maybe 5,000-6,000 people at a game every night. So. I mean, that wouldn't be bad for OCB to draw in.
I think 5,000-6,000 is kind of pushing the envelope for OCB. I don't know.
I set the over under, 4,500 this week? A lot of people agreed that it would be under.
I think 2-3.
OCB had, the third lowest attendance in USL last year?
Second. They think they averaged,
who's
900.
Who had the lowest, Montreal or Toronto?
I'm pretty sure New York was lower than them, didn't they?
Or New York.
New York and Montreal. Was the lowest by far.
All MLS-owned USL clubs really don't promote.
I mean, because they have the MLS club.
Yeah, of course. But I think it's to their benefit to try to...
Well, what it is those MLS2 clubs that are branded as MLS2 clubs, that's where it really hurts. Because you look at places like Philadelphia, where they're the Bethlehem Steel.
Yeah.
I believe Orlando City could... OCB could have worked in Melbourne as a standalone branding, as a Melbourne local ties.
Yeah.
As in Orlando City, you'll have soccer fans out there. But if you don't have Orlando City fans... There's no incentive for them to go.
Well, you think of it, they were only there for a year.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows?
It's going to be a lot better when they're here in Orlando.
Oh, that too, obviously. Yeah, but I mean, as an overall, if you're a soccer fan and you wanted a team locally, but you're not an Orlando City fan, there's no drive to want to go to these games because you're basically supporting Orlando City. But if you're supporting a team, like I said, like with Bethlehem, that's, you know, specifically branded and modeled to fit that local community where there's actually ties to the community, then there's more incentive for somebody to go out and support it, because it's more of your own. But it's more of something that you can actually get behind.
But you saw towards the end, I mean, what, the USL kind of vouched, let Orlando City be play at the downtown stadium, so.
Yeah, and it was one of the things when I talked to Jake Edwards, he was more interested. He was hopeful that Orlando City would be there because USL knows that's the best option for them, is to be in that stadium in downtown. They'll get more supporters. And he said something about the USL 2 model overall, is that they're definitely going to have to look at that because, I mean, USL wants to be the best. But when you have those clubs kind of dragging it down, not necessarily working in the same ways that a Sacramento or a Cincinnati is, where they want to be as big as they can. Like an OCB or a Toronto 2, those teams aren't working in that same aspect.
Yeah.
They're there for development, and they'll meet the specific standards because they have to. Other teams are working to try to be as big as they can.
Yeah.
But, you know, it'll be interesting to see how USL continues to move with this going forward, especially with OCB.
Well, I believe the Rebels, too, are not playing in Rebel Arena this year.
They moved out to Montclair University.
Yeah. So, that... Yeah, it's going to be interesting.
I remember Red Bulls, too. There was one time where they had an academy kid, or not an academy kid, but like one of their MLS USL guys, like that went back and forth.
Tyler Adams?
I think it was. He was on the bench for the MLS. He played 90 minutes for the USL. Could have been. He played 90 minutes for the USL team and then was on the bench for the MLS game like 2 hours later.
Because they were
Connor Lade?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
who it was.
Did any OCB game schedule on the same day as an Orlando City game?
I have not checked, and I doubt.
Because I know one thing the Red Bulls did last year, they did a lot.
Even the Galaxy did it,
doubleheaders.
Too.
Yeah. So you go to a game at Red Bull Arena, and then Red Bull 2 play like 30 minutes after.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody who's there is there. You don't have to buy a ticket. Yeah. You're already in the stadium.
The game I went to
against Toronto last year, they did that. But the game started at like 9:30, 10 o'clock. I didn't really feel like watching Red Bulls 2.
Yeah.
So I didn't stay, but... It's still a good gimmick. It's a way to get people out there to see the product and expose them to the brand.
You can also do it with Pride doubleheaders. Have Pride play first, then OCB.
Yeah, you could work that in with either one.
So,
I mean, it'd be smart marketing, smart business for both sides. You're exposing them not to just the brand, but the players.
Man,
people go out there and they see players that look exciting and think, oh, you know, let me go watch these guys. They could be with the first team.
Yeah,
let me jump the ball and know who this kid is when they call him up.
There you go.
I think part of the problem, too, is just most of the Orlando City fans are casual fans.
Yeah, and which is understandable. So a lot of them, right?
I'm not saying to discount anyone. No. It makes perfect sense. They're going to pay attention to the main team because there are players there. For example, Kaká, which is the reason a lot of people pay attention to the team, or at least started paying attention to the team. And so this whole concept of let me go watch the B team is basically like let me go watch practice, except none of the players I like are going to be there. No casual fan wants to do that.
For $10.
So you're,
but a lot of those people are there because of the hype around Orlando City. They're not there because they're like...
Are you
like,
talking about OCB?
Yeah, yeah. I'm saying that the reason they're going to support the regular team is just because they've bought into the hype for that. To go watch a team, even if it's only $10, to take that time out of your day to go watch a team of players you don't care
about.
Well,
no, that's the thing. It's the same thing with minor league baseball. It's you're going there...
To see the future.
Yeah, you're going there...
Right,
well,
minor league baseball games sell 40,000 tickets?
No.
Some sell out tens of thousands.
I've never been to a spring training game with that many people.
Spring training? At 40,000? Nobody plays in a 40,000. They're all around 15 at least.
Right. And I've seen some of those close to sold out.
But baseball
is also a much bigger sport than soccer in the country.
The better draw of having this here in the city is that it's something else to do. It's a way to go. You go to the stadium and you bring a couple friends, hang out on Church Street before the game, you just enjoy having a night out at the club because, like I said, you don't necessarily care if OCB wins or loses. Like, you wouldn't necessarily care if your local minor league baseball team won or lost. You're there to have a good time. You're there to enjoy the stadium, enjoy the atmosphere, drink a couple beers, and then go home afterwards.
Now, the one thing that minor league baseball teams do is they have all the gimmicks that they bring in for fans, like giveaways and like...
It's a little bit easier to do that with the in-between innings. But I think if you make the halftime show something.
Everything here, it seems like... There's no doubt that Orlando City, the soccer team, embraces the city.
Of course.
But then you start also wonder if the city itself embraces itself. Because then there's also that talk of what Sunrail not, you know, really being efficient most of the time during game days.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have the Galaxy now. They kind of inked a partnership with, I guess, a is it a railroad company over there? And now fans can actually, you know, ride a train to StubHub Center.
Right.
So it's like you kind of start wondering.
Well, Orlando usually makes the buses Sunrail. Free. No, they make the buses free.
Yeah, those are pretty convenient because I rode one of those buses to check it out. But, you know, obviously you have Sunrail here. You know.
That might have to be an option for us, too, with parking. Who knows? We'll have to park at a park here at Rollins and take a bus downtown or take Sunrail downtown.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Sunrail station's right around the corner, right?
Mm.
Take a Sunrail into downtown and walk a few blocks from back.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely a lot of options.
Yeah, which is back to, the what is it, 16,000 parking spots in and around the city? So, man.
So, now, I finally found the attendance numbers on average for Orlando City B. They were the third highest or lowest attended. 958 fans per game. Yeah. Lowest was FC Montreal with 200.
Hold on, 900?
Yeah, under 1,000. Now,
wait, who had 900?
Yeah.
Orlando City B. That was their average for the season. FC Montreal averaged 243.
They had a game where, 50 people showed up once? That
was
lowest
raining.
Attendance.
It was raining pretty
the
bad.
The lowest attendance, 50
yeah,
one people.
Of, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then...
We sat with more people in that Four Rivers than went to that soccer game.
New York Red Bulls 2, the champions.
They were 600, right?
589.
How much did they have in their last game of the season?
The championship game?
A few thousand.
Yeah, probably not.
And how do those compare to teams that aren't an MLS affiliate?
Oh, so, regular MLS teams are at least 3,000 and higher.
So the highest...
Cincinnati, right?
Cincinnati.
Well, highest is Cincinnati. I'm looking at in terms of MLS clubs.
Followed by Sacramento.
No. I'm saying how high were the non-MLS clubs.
The top 10 are all
right.
Non.
That's, and that goes to the theory that Gavin was talking about earlier. It's if it's an MLS B team, especially if it's branded as an MLS B team or a 2, nobody, why? Go watch the main team. If you're going to spend money to go soccer, especially when it's not in Orlando, if you're going to spend money to go to a soccer game, go watch the main team. Mm-hmm. I never went to an OCB game.
Yeah, because it was out in Melbourne.
But I don't know how often. I mean, I might go sometimes here, but even still, it's just.
But a part of this argument, too, is how many of those MLS teams are going to sell out their games on a daily basis? Very few of them. Orlando City's going to do that.
Yeah.
Those people are going to want a way to be able to watch soccer in that new stadium stuff.
Just a note here, Real Monarchs was the highest MLS-owned club with 2,528 average attendance.
Holy. And they're getting their own stadium, too.
Almost.
So their first season, Real Monarchs was 4,000 average. They dropped 46.2% from 2015 to 2016.
With Mike Pecky out there this year, maybe. Who knows?
And you also have Soul Park Rangers as well?
Soul Park, yeah.
Swope Park Rangers, they averaged 1,753.
Oh, Brad's here.
Yeah. Orange County Blues was the lowest average attendance from a regular USL club with 1,000.
That's expected.
Just higher than OCB. And I'm pretty sure Orange County rebranded again.
Yeah, they're Orange.
Orange County Soccer Club.
Yeah, Orange County Soccer
Club. OCSC. So they went from OCB to OCSC.
Yeah, we had this discussion.
Isn't that Orlando City?
You have Orlando. They were OCB for Orange County Blues. Then they went to Orange County Soccer Club. So
it's gotta be sucked to be that unoriginal.
Yeah, pretty much. All right. Any other Orlando City stuff? OCB plays a friendly tomorrow at UCF
at 10 a.m.
You gonna go to that?
Either that or I might go to training. But
I'm debating.
I you know, obviously for the viewers, I still go to UCF. So if I end up going to campus, I may stop by. But it'll be interesting because I kind of want to know how OCB is starting to shape light, because it's likely that you might see some
team.
When you look at OCB, there's players there that could have the potential to go on up.
Sure. I mean, there are already guys that are
Tony Rocha, Mikey Ambrose. Well, he's not there anymore, Mikey Ambrose, but
Pierre de Silva.
Yeah. So you might be looking at the next Pierre de Silva, Joe Gallardo.
That's what people are saying. All right. That's Orlando City for you.
See some of those guys out there anyway.
Yeah.
Reserves teams will be playing out there.
And you can loan guys back and forth.
Yeah,
it's going to be a lot easier to do that.
There's only
now.
15 guys on the OCB roster. The other half is going to be made up of Orlando City reserves.
Yeah, the loanees. They're still looking to sign a few more guys, OCB. I've seen a few local kids training out there from local
colleges. Six or seven trialists? Seven
what trialists. Are the odds of Danny Deacon playing some time at OCB?
I think that's pretty high.
Yeah?
Yeah. I would say that's very high. I wouldn't be surprised if he plays in that game tomorrow, to be fair.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk some MLS and World Soccer. So, Giovinco was in the news lately because he was getting offers from China. He apparently turned down a $10 million offer from China to go play over there. So he decided to stay with Toronto.
Yeah.
It's probably a lot better living quality up in Toronto compared to China as well. So.
It makes sense.
Yeah. It makes sense. I mean,
plus he loves playing in MLS. Against the defense?
I could see why, obviously, you know, players obviously are going to China because of what the money. And it, but there's also the you know, the reports and stories that I've read that China's investing a lot in soccer academies.
Mm-hmm. As their president is a huge soccer fan and wants the team to start developing its own players so they can compete on the World Cup stage.
Our president played soccer when he was in boarding school. Like
that was during the Vietnam War, though, right?
Yeah. Yeah. When he, of course, had medical reasons that he couldn't fight.
I think he was like he was like a Pepe. Just the.
You mean a pee-pee? Isn't that what you call him, Kyle?
No. I don't think I've ever referred to them as that.
I can almost assure you that I can go back into one of the episodes and you might call him that.
As a joke.
No, you said you. I'm pretty sure in one of the episodes prior, you said like that's what you call him all the time.
Have you worked on a Kyle soundboard yet?
No.
I need to get that going.
That's like very low on my priority list.
Yeah, it would be low on my priority list too.
There was also those Boca Junior players that got in a fight. I don't know if you saw that.
Wait, what?
The Boca Junior players, they got into like a fist fight during training.
Oh, yeah.
went to a
practice last year, and I don't remember who was there, but there was something, Servando Carrasco and somebody else were screaming at each other on the far field during during an inter-team scrimmage or practice drill or whatever. I mean, it happens. I don't even know what the word I'm looking for is, to be honest. I'm gonna stop that thought.
Smart move.
Yeah.
Gavin just hit check on that thought.
All right. Let's see. What is
we've been
next?
Going forever. What else do we have left?
Champions League.
Oh, there's plenty of stuff left.
Oh yeah, we'll get to that in predictions. We did our predictions last week and they were not good. This is a little teaser for you guys.
So this is something kind of really cool, actually. Sasha Kljestan has been named the New York Red Bulls captain, right? Mm-hmm. His captain armband has
the supporter clubs.
Yes, yeah. All the logos of all the supporter clubs for the New York Red Bulls. So he wears the supporters on his sleeve. And that's a kind of just a really nice nod to all the supporters that show up and, you know, support. So do you think Orlando should do something like that where Kaká wears the Ruckus and Iron Lion firm logos on his armband?
I think it would be pretty cool.
I mean, I'm not saying it wouldn't be cool, but if it starts to become a thing where that's just every team starts doing it, then it's not original at that point. True. You know?
Maybe think of something else.
I think that's something a plastic club would do. No real supporters would want that.
With the jerseys, they have "This is Orlando, forever our city" on the inside. So I mean, they do. They're not calling out the supporter groups by name.
Do the new jerseys have that?
They have something, I think, on the inside. I don't know.
I like the old jersey. How you had the old logo on the.
I think the new ones still have that, right?
I have no idea.
I think they've continued doing that.
Probably the authentic one, though.
Yeah,
not the replica.
I could be wrong, but I'll have to ask somebody that knows more about that.
I gotta ask I gotta reach out to the supporters if they're planning a TIFO for.
Oh,
should hope so.
I wonder what the.
I mean, if the first game in the new stadium,
they'll be able to actually do like.
Do they have a way to hang?
That's what I was
asking.
I wonder if they have that where, like, especially at Red Bull Arena, anything that drapes over, you can get the strings down. You can.
Well, then again, I mean, obviously, there's talks about the stadium not being 100% yet.
Yeah, so I mean, that could be added on very easily later on. Just the police system. You know, it's not that hard to add.
They can suspend the big giant rotating lion up there too, and it just
so.
Wait, I don't think the lion's not going to be there anymore.
I know,
it's unfortunate.
They should have a rotating Adrian Heath statue instead.
I would be 100% for Phil coming.
You know,
back
well, didn't they just build a statue outside of Old Trafford
of
Fergie?
Possibly, yeah.
Yeah, why don't we do that for Adrian Heath?
I actually have a statue of Fergie in my room too.
The Dark Knight. So I think we should do Adrian Heath in a Batman.
Not the one, whatever you're talking about, most likely.
Okay, so.
Yeah, that's a cardboard cutout with the mouth cut out isn't the same thing.
Gavin, why is there a hole the exact circumference of your penis on this Fergie cutout? No further questions.
Oh, Jesus.
No further questions.
Oh, right.
No further answers. So random thing that just popped up on my Twitter feed. Apparently, former Mexico goalkeeper Moises Munoz is close to joining Orlando City, says a Mexican newspaper.
Again?
Isn't that the guy that was linked to them like 6 months ago?
Yeah.
That's fake news.
They have four goalkeepers.
Don't buy that one second.
Not at all. They say he's going to join during the summer. But I doubt that. It's one of those. It's probably one of those situations where they're saying he's already going somewhere so that it increases his transfer value or something. Like teams do that. Like agents do that. They throw out rumors to different newspapers and say like, okay, here, run this, and then my client will get better offers.
Yeah.
So it's probably just one of those.
Well,
things.
I don't think they say that explicitly.
But that's basically what they want to do.
They just say, hey, here's who, you know, we're talking to Manchester United. It's like, no, dude. No, Servando Carrasco is not being talked to by Manchester United.
Well, see, the thing is with Chicharito is when it was reported that Orlando City was negotiating with him, when the Sentinel reported that, Chicharito's people took those articles and threw them around overseas so he got better offers.
Yeah, no,
he was actually close to joining Orlando City until that happened, and then other teams stepped up their offers, and then he left to England.
Is that what your sources tell you?
That's just what we've heard.
Okay.
Through people that know that.
Fake news.
Well, I mean, you have a guy like Flavio, yeah, you know, call a mid-game, a halftime press conference and kind of just say, hey, we're close to signing him, but the less we talk about it, the more, you know, like...
We're very hopeful that in 2 weeks the situation will be very different and that nothing changed. It got worse.
No, yeah, it got worse. That changed. It was very different.
I think that was a wake-up call for the club. No,
I mean, once the ownership is saying we're doing this, then that guy
can comment on transfer rumors, and then Flavio holds a press conference about their transfer rumors with Chicharito.
And he was pretty optimistic that day.
It wasn't just about Chicharito. I mean, it was like other things
that
he was talking about.
Okay, but yes, it was. Because nobody remembers anything else he said other than the Chicharito thing.
Very true.
I think he said something about TV ratings, that they were the best in the state of Florida.
Yeah. You know who else says stuff about TV ratings? Everyone.
Speaking of TV, this is a great segue here.
Good segue.
So Atlanta United reached a TV deal with Fox Sports South to broadcast all their games on Fox Sports South and as well as Fox Sports Southeast or something. So all the Fox Sports channels in the overarching areas, so like all of Atlanta,
Tennessee, some of South Carolina, North Carolina.
Exactly, which is huge for their reach.
Yeah, Orlando City had that same kind of thing when there was all of the state of Florida had access to games in 2015.
Yep.
And then that deal with Fox Sports expired.
They're also doing very similar things to Orlando City. So they have a pregame show called Unite and Conquer, and that will air on Fox Sports. So it's going to be like those Orlando Magic shows, except for soccer.
Is it still going to be on TV 27, Orlando City games?
Yes.
Home games?
Yeah.
Yeah. They still haven't hired anybody to do games and everything. Oh, and here's some funny things.
That's Austin saying, oh, wait, no, you're talking about Atlanta, right?
Yeah, no.
Never mind. I was about to say that's Austin asking for a job, but.
No.
My resume is there, guys. It's on your desk.
So,
it's not very long.
I came to your house at 3 a.m. and handed it to you. Come on, guys.
So, Orlando.
Austin, your application's on file. Don't worry.
Atlanta United games will be broadcast on channel 69.
All right.
Nice.
Sounds peachy.
Yep.
Good channel.
Great channel.
quality programming.
Quality. So yeah, and then on the other side of things, Columbus partnered with Spectrum Sports to make sure that like 3/4 of their fan base can't watch games, because you have to be a Spectrum Sports subscriber to watch games on Spectrum Sports.
I did not know about that.
Yeah. Well, so you know how like Bright House Sports Network exists only on Bright House.
Yeah. Well, Bright House is now Spectrum.
Exactly.
Yeah, so
Spectrum Sports Network is only on Spectrum.
Are they
Sports.
Changing Bright House Sports Network Stadium to Spectrum Stadium at any point?
I would imagine so. I mean, pretty
Triple S, Spectrum Sports Stadium.
Is there any public plan in place that they've
have
mentioned?
I've heard absolutely nothing. I've talked to people from there, and they're like,
because right now
they're
sponsored by an inexistent company.
Yeah.
Yeah. Basically. Yeah.
Well, what was the new stadium called before? Or was it when it opened, was it already called Bright House Network Stadium?
Yeah, it was immediately named Bright House
Network
Stadium.
I wonder if they're negotiating a new deal.
It didn't Bright House
like, yeah, we'll change the name, but you're going to have to pay us some more money now.
UCF Stadium.
Yeah, something like that.
Orlando
But again, that just shows like one side of the spectrum to the other. The spectrum.
Ha.
Yeah.
You dirty whore.
I didn't mean to do that, but
you,
I did
you,
it.
You think we'll have an official stadium name for Orlando City Stadium sometime this
Before
season?
March?
No. Before the beginning of the season, I don't think so.
Why?
It could be on Friday that they unveil it. You never know with the ribbon cutting.
It could be, but I doubtful. It's doubtful.
I'm not the only one who thinks it's weird that they haven't named the stadium.
They're
the
still
in
negotiations
like 2 weeks,
right?
For
what
There I've are two told. MLS teams that have stadium names whose stadiums will not be in will not open until 2018.
Publix Park.
Publix Park. And that's
we're all, we're
I really
all
like Publix Park.
I mean, dude, I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying Publix
Who
is announcing
like
something
Publix
big
Park?
On March 1st.
It's very...
It's probably not that, but that would be my best
We are all
my best
they
wish.
Call
petitioning
for
it.
They can call it the Chicken Tender Subfield at
Publix
Park.
Public City Park. That sounds like city parking right there.
I really hope Publix actually has a deli vendor like inside
Adrian
the stadium.
Adrian Heath Field at Publix Park or Phil Rollins Field at Publix Park?
I mean, the Citrus Bowl was called what?
Third Bank Field. Everything was sponsored. The corners. Do you remember the corners?
By T-Mobile?
No. Walgreens. On the corner of Happy and Healthy.
But then there was another one. Metro PCS sponsored the throw-ins.
Yes. Literally every time. This corner kick sponsored by Walgreens on the corner of Happy and Healthy. Seven corners in a row. This corner kick is sponsored by Walgreens on the corner of Happy and Healthy.
This corner's not sponsored by anyone because we're fucking tired of this shit.
Like, sorry, we only paid for six corner kicks. So this one is not sponsored.
Every aspect of that game has some kind of corporate sponsorship.
Yeah, that's minor league sports for you.
Yeah.
But you ever see their ice too?
The Solar Bears? Yeah, it's just, it's not even white. It's just ads.
It's like a NASCAR jersey.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
You mean a NASCAR car?
No, well,
NASCAR
like,
suit.
Yeah, suit. That's what I meant.
Jacket suit.
I'm thinking more like the cars.
Also the cars.
Well,
yeah. All right, moving on. We talked about this guy last week.
I just want to give shout out to the fact that NASCAR for the longest of time had one of its oldest drivers sponsored by Viagra.
That's true.
I never thought about that until right now. I'm like, wait a second.
Who was that again?
That makes sense. Mark Martin drove the number 6 car for the longest of time.
Okay.
He was sponsored by Viagra. I think dude was like 60.
Cool. moving on.
I'm not just the president. I'm a member kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He was the spokesman and avid user.
This works, I promise.
Yeah, he very much approved that product.
Does he take it before he drives?
Yeah. That seems...
All I'm saying is he was one of the hardest racers out there. That's all I'm saying.
That was actually originally the plan for the Talladega Nights sequel. It was going to be Talladega Mid-Afternoon Special.
Harder, better, faster, and stronger.
Exactly.
Talladega Nooner.
Hey,
the Talladega Early Bird Special.
What's
so
that?
The plans for Orlando City's, like, the layout for the stadium was just shown, so you can see like where the vendors and everything are. Still waiting for that Adidas shop though. Don't know where that's going to be.
Isn't supposed to be near the front of the store?
Supposedly,
the front entrance.
Supposedly,
I'm just excited to
walk
in.
Four Rivers have a
stadium.
Stand. Four Rivers needs to have a stand.
Main Street presented by Publix. Publix Park.
Publix.
I mean, well, Main Street's presented by Publix, so I mean that's one step closer to Publix Park. Anyway, back to what I was saying. Portland was supposed to be signing this defender, but now he is not going to be signing with them. We talked about him last week. Yaya Banana. You guys remember him?
God, what a name.
Yaya Banana. He's Kobe currently Buffalo. Playing in Greece. He was going to be loaned to Portland, but now they're not looking at him anymore. So Banana will be slipping back into Greece.
Wow. I feel like he wrote that before we came in today.
I did not. I came up with that on the
swing
spot, actually.
And a miss.
It was one of those things where I came up with it on the spot, said it, then instantly regretted it.
Came up with it on the spot, said it, realized you should never speak.
You know
again.
It's bad when he has the worst puns on the show so far.
Yeah, I know. My puns have not been the worst today, and I've made some pretty bad ones.
We haven't even got to mine yet. Yeah. We haven't even got to mine yet. Just
Boy.
Wait.
Oh, God. Hey, Brad, you still there? Maybe not.
He's been captured by ISIS.
Oh, no, he is there.
ISIS captured Brad as well.
Hi, Brad.
Hey, I'm here.
Yeah.
That's exactly what you would say if you were captured by ISIS.
I'm holding up today's newspaper as a sign of life.
Well, ISIS can buy today's newspaper. It's a fast-paced economy. It's easy to buy things from around the world.
You can also print it out. It's pretty easy to print.
That, too.
All right.
I don't know if ISIS has printers. There's no Staples in the Middle East.
Let's move on, because we're rambling again. David Villa got a red card after video review, one of the first ones, and he was all pissed off about it because he slapped a guy in the face, and then they reviewed it and
pretended
gave
like
him a red card. Yeah, basically.
What's next?
Zach Scott from the Seattle Sounders, he retired. He's getting a testimonial match. I just wanted to get your opinion on testimonial matches for MLS players.
How long was he with the team?
He was like Mr. Sounder, I think he was named or something.
Yeah, I mean
a former Orlando City player is actually playing in his testimonial match. Let's see if you can you remember this guy, Mike, and this one's going to be for you, Michael Tete.
It's pronounced Titty.
Played 3 games for Orlando City in 2011. On loan. from the Sounders.
Is he having a testimonial?
No, he's playing in the testimonial match.
Oh, hey. I'm gonna say.
Yeah, no, he's...
Yeah, Orlando City, as one of the longest tenured Orlando City players, he's going to be getting a testimonial.
So Zach Scott played for the Seattle Sounders from 2002 until 2016.
Yeah, no, he deserves a testimonial match then.
Yeah, basically. He's 36 years old.
Yeah, no, that's...
He was with Seattle for 154 games in USL and then 118 games in MLS.
Yeah, that's a testimonial.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. You kind of earned that one.
Yeah. So again, like, you know, when players retire, do you want to see more of that? Those testimonial matches where they invite former players to come play and like,
cool.
Give him one last send-off kind of thing.
I mean, for players like that who made the team what
so, like,
they
if,
are.
If Luke Bowden retires, would you do it for him?
I was just going to mention, like, I wonder if they're...
Yeah, Bowden would deserve it.
If and when Orlando City decides to do monuments or, like, a Hall of Fame.
Adrian
in their new stadium, you have to honor him and Phil Rollins at some point. You can't not.
Phil didn't play though. Like you can't.
Phil
have,
founded the club.
But how do you? I guess you can have a testimonial match where all his former players from like the Austin Aztecs.
Well, he can't have a match,
that.
But I'm saying he should have his day at some.
Yeah,
point.
Yeah, there's got to be something to celebrate.
You
got to
have a
clearly
day in honor of him.
Kevin Molina.
Yeah. You get Sean St. Ledger.
I don't know about Kevin Molina.
I think you got to.
Kyle's wife is having a bad day for him.
You got to give Kevin Molina some time. I think. Depending on what happens with the rest of
the problem team. With something like that is when you hear, I get it, like you're here for 4 or 5 years, whatever, it's kind of cool, but like, see, and then that makes me kind of debate Luke Bowden too. I think the reason it's not the same for Kevin Molina is because Kevin Molina is going to spend the majority of his career away from Orlando City and the prime of his career away from Orlando City. Luke Bowden spent his prime here in Orlando.
Yeah, and then left.
Whoa, what if Kevin Molina becomes like the LeBron of Orlando City? Like he goes somewhere else to win first and then comes back.
then I think it would be fair, but I don't think that's going to happen.
But again, with Zach Scott, he never left Seattle.
They shouldn't be common. They should not be just something that every team has like 5 or 6 players every year where they're like, yeah, let's honor this guy. It should be very rare.
Maybe
that's really
testimonial,
the first one in
honor.
MLS that I've actually heard of, though.
Right, and that's because not too many players in MLS last.
Landon
that long
Donovan
in one
deserved
team.
One, but he got all those send offs. Anyway.
Do soccer teams typically retire numbers?
No,
well, the whole thing was like
the Cosmos.
Yeah, no one's allowed to wear number 10.
Donovan initially retired. That he
it's pretty dumb though.
They won the MLS Cup that year too.
Yeah,
yeah. That's what I'm saying. His send off was good enough.
Yeah.
All right. So FC Cincinnati, John Harkes, their coach, he's stepped down.
Yeah,
that was kind of surprising.
Well, I read a lot from the blogs over there in Cincinnati. They were saying that Harkes is a little bit of a an arrogant person.
Mm. Well, there was reports of power struggles between him and the higher up leadership.
Yeah, so a lot of people were actually, I mean, from what I saw from fan reaction, a lot of people were actually pretty excited to see him go. Because yeah, you're right. There was a power struggle, but they were saying that he's a little bit of an arrogant person, you know, and kind of wanted it his way. And obviously, when there's a power struggle, obviously you kind of see just things go differently,
right?
So
yeah, it makes sense. All right. Speaking of people leaving clubs, Ali Curtis out at the Red Bulls.
Yeah,
that was another one of those things.
Another
where,
power
like,
struggle too. It's surprising too because he. Kind of helped put a good Red Bulls team together.
Not a good, a great Red Bulls team.
I think
they were the.
I mean, the Red Bulls in general have had a couple. You have the trade with Dax McCarty. You have that now. It's not like it was just.
Yeah, but
there's
like
a little more going on there.
They were a great team last year, and then they trade away their like linchpin midfielder.
Which I was going to bring up too is when Dax and both Brad Evans kind of drew some headlines over the past week with their tweets. Dax in specific has been. Very salty since being traded towards the Red Bulls.
Yeah, I think he didn't tweet, don't let the door hit you on the way out, Allie.
Yeah, he tweeted that about Allie when he was thrown out of there.
I think players need to understand that, it's a business. So,
and Brad Evans was tweeting about, what's his name from, who just signed with Vancouver?
Freddie Montero.
Yeah.
I did not see that.
He was saying,
no matter how much money you pay me, I'll never play for a rival team.
There you go.
It's a business.
It is a business. However,
Freddie Montero even said though, he said, I want to score against the Sounders, but I won't celebrate.
Soccer is one of those things where loyalty to your team is just way more important than it is in any other sport and way more common than it is in any other sport.
Especially nowadays, the way money is thrown around sports, loyalty in sports is is almost out.
I mean, you got soccer players who are willing to say, "I'll sit on the bench and rarely ever play if it means I'm still a part of this club and still part of this. If I score against my old club, I'm not going to celebrate." All those kind of things. Like, that just doesn't happen in other sports.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
I mean, loyalty is definitely way more common in soccer, and I appreciate the sport for that.
There you guys. Are we ready to talk about Meat Pie Gate?
No.
Didn't Kamara
yet.
Like put out some tweets after he was traded from Columbus to New England?
He put out like vines and like videos of him like leaving the club with like a trash bag or something. He was like walking out of the training club with like a trash bag over his shoulder. He like
did like
the animal, I just like, seen like, that Red Evans tweet. Yeah. Despite that stupid ass MLS player acquisition mechanism, I would never go to a rival team.
There you go. All right, moving on. You guys remember Eric Gehrig? He was with Orlando City for all of about 5 minutes before getting traded. He just announced
from Chicago.
He just retired.
Oh.
Yeah, so he's from Chicago, and Chicago didn't re-sign him, so he's just like, "Yeah, I'm done." But yeah, I think he would have been a good pickup if he had decided to stick around for a little bit.
Wait, but there's also the Patrick Mullins miss in the expansion draft as well.
Yeah.
Well, they got lucky with Kyle Larin on that one, so it doesn't hurt as much.
But that wasn't the expansion draft. The expansion draft for Orlando City was bad.
They missed out on him, but they still ended up getting Kyle Larin in the end, so it's not like
there's nobody.
It's not like we're looking back and saying, "Wow, they really should have got Patrick Mullins. We have Kyle Larin."
There's nobody left from that expansion draft for Orlando.
No.
No, you're right. Yeah, Taylor Hall. No, Taylor Hall wasn't part of the.
No, he was a trade. It was Donovan Ricketts, Pedro Ribeiro, Tony Cassio.
Ribeiro was the last player.
Whatever happened to Tony Cassio?
He's with Arizona. Yeah, Phoenix Rising.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, you guys remember Owen Coyle? Remember how he was going to be like?
Yeah, did he get sacked?
Yes, he did. Blackburn Rovers fired Owen Coyle just the other day. So, not only does he suck at MLS, he sucks everywhere apparently now.
Well, yeah, he sucked England. He came over here, thought it would be easy. Sucked here, and
then
went
back
over there
and like,
sucked over there.
Can't stop sucking.
No, the Owen Coyle story.
That'll be his biography. Owen Coyle, can't stop sucking.
That, not sure if that one works.
Why doesn't it work, Kyle?
Phrasing.
There you go. Didn't have that queued up.
There was a really good tweet that he put out. No, that's a parody account. Never mind.
It's like the Adrian Heath
almost,
parody account.
Almost fell for it. Almost fell for it.
No, that was actually Adrian Heath running that account.
Was he?
No, I don't
but
know.
But the parody account was pretty good. Since my sacking by Blackburn, I've lost followers almost as fast as I lost games. Glory Hunters.
Also a Jason Christ parody account as well.
Hot takes for days.
Okay, thanks, Brent.
That was a bad use of the Brent soundboard.
That was supposed to play like 5 minutes ago. I don't know what happened. Anyway.
We should never let you touch a soundboard again.
Well, Brad can't do a soundboard. He's in...
That's fine.
Whatever.
I get it. Brad can't, but we should make sure you don't.
All right, moving on.
What's next?
Let's talk about the FA Cup and specifically Lincoln City and how amazing their run has been.
What are they in the fourth round now? Fifth round.
They play Arsenal now, right?
Yeah. How it's all going to end now.
That's unfortunate.
They're playing at Arsenal too, so.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Luck.
Yeah, that's going to be tough.
I don't know why we're talking about this. Everybody knows that the top story of the FA Cup is Wayne Shaw.
Barely scored 2 goals.
That's true.
So let's get
to
the
story of the FA Cup is the goalkeeper
Wayne Shaw,
yeah,
who resigned as a player over allegations of eating a meat pie during the middle of the match against Arsenal.
I mean, not allegations.
Apparently
he absolutely did it.
Apparently, there were 8-1 odds that he would actually eat one of those on TV, and he did. So
did he just like wait for the camera to come on him?
I don't even think he knew the camera was on him.
I think it was like during like a certain time he would have had something to eat. And look, if you're going to put out that's a prop bet before the game and I find out about it, I'm absolutely eating a pie.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, of course.
I'm putting
easy money.
$100,000 down on it, and then I'm walking away with like $5 million. I don't care.
You're like, oh, sure, I'm not going to ever play soccer again. I'm 46 years old. Not like I was really going to play anyway.
And then I tell all my friends to make that same bet, too, so now we're all richer.
Again, I mean, like, if you're going to put it out there.
I hope he did that. I really hope he did that.
I'm going to go from Sutton to Ibiza in like 2 weeks, so sorry.
He's like, the team's sorry, like, the team's like, we're so sad to see him go, and also 10% of his winnings is enough to triple our earnings as a club.
Now, yeah. The real question out of this is, would this ever happen in MLS? And what would the MLS player in question have to be eating on live TV to lose his job? Or what would an MLS player be eating if they caught them
participating in a bet, they would lose their job.
All right, now, so you're watching a game, and a camera pans over, you see an MLS player off to the side eating something in session stand. Who is it, and what is he eating?
Brian Rochez and a Colombian burger.
I thought that was Carlos Rivas.
That's both.
Federico Higuain and a bowl of Skyline chili.
Is he also spitting it out into the garbage as he eats it?
Yeah, he's vomiting profusely.
All right, last thing. Leicester, they stay sucking. They lost to Millwall.
Everyone just stays sucking nowadays, don't they?
About to play Sevilla right now, too, as we're recording this. And that
we actually have that on the TV behind us.
Good luck.
Here in studio, we have that.
Yes.
Yeah, that's
very high tech here at the Fourth Official.
Yeah, wait. I don't know.
Are they playing in Sevilla?
Yeah, this will be interesting.
Good luck.
They're gonna get. They're gonna.
It was like 610 minutes they haven't scored.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah,
they're gonna struggle here a little bit. All right. Are we doing our new segment, Gavin?
He didn't come prepared.
Yeah, I didn't have time to prepare. My computer was dead last night.
So we're not doing that new segment.
Unfortunately, not. Well, hopefully next week I'll be able to prepare and do show prep for you guys.
Perfect. All
but
right.
This week, no.
Now it is time. Well, get your weird news stories ready, first of all.
It's time
for our Estrella and Brian Rochez update.
Okay.
You can get it ready. You can look it up online. First off, Estrella. Since our last show, he has played 2 games. He's now played in 15 games for Varzim Sport Club and has not scored. Now, Brian Rochez. He has apparently gotten on a flight and left Orlando to who knows where. The club doesn't seem to know either. So, that's where we're at with Brian Rochez.
Yeah, I saw that on Instagram.
Wait, hold on. Say that again, because I wasn't listening. I was pulling up my story.
Rochez apparently was on a flight somewhere yesterday, and the club doesn't know where he went. Or they do, and they're just not saying anything.
He went to La La Land.
They absolutely know where he is.
They just don't want to comment.
Yeah, you don't lose a player. It just doesn't happen.
Where did he go? I mean, to be fair, they did lose Brian Rochez in the 2015 season because he didn't have a passport and they couldn't find him.
They knew where he was. He just couldn't get back.
I mean, there was a point where they're like,
if they legitimately had no clue where he was, he would not still be with the team. You don't let a player stay on the team if they just disappear and you have no clue where they are.
That's exactly what happened with Martin Patterson and Sean St. Ledger.
And where are they now?
Yeah, Martin Patterson's with the Tampa Bay Rowdies, and Sean St. Ledger is...
Is he still in Colorado?
Sean St. Ledger was dropped by Colorado because he missed the entire season last year with an injury.
Did he?
Yeah. Martin Patterson's with the Rowdies?
Yes.
He's at the last...
Hasn't
season,
signed,
he's
but
like
he's on...
training or traveling trial. With him.
Yeah. Okay. Time for some weird
St. Ledger
news.
Is just a free agent right now. It only has him listed as his current team being the Republic of Ireland national team.
Right, because he doesn't have a team. All right. Weird news. Kyle. Give me
some.
So,
Vietnamese players were banned for 2 years after protesting a penalty kick. Long and players were furious at a late penalty awarded by referee Nguyen Trung Tho to Ho Chi Minh City. And the score is locked 2-2. After initially walking off the pitch, the players returned to the field, but goalkeeper Nguyen Minh Nut turned his back as the penalty was taken, conceding a goal. The whole team then stood motionless and allowed Ho Chi Minh City to score 2 more goals as the margin blew out to 5-2. In a statement, the Vietnamese Football Federation said that Minh Nut and captain Hyung Quang Thanh would be banned for 24 months. It says would ban for 24 months. ESPN FC, get your fucking shit together and learn how to edit. they were suspended for 24 months due to disrespecting the match, not respecting the decision of the referee, and causing damage to the reputation and honor of the Vietnam Football Federation. Their coach, No Quang Sang, has been banned for 3 years, as has the club chairman, who quit following the game.
Jesus. Alrighty then.
Seems like they're all just kind of like staying away anyways, so.
Basically.
I just can't get over the fact that ESPN FC has a typo. Like, and every time I read an article from them, There's a massive typo like that, and the article's been up for like at least a couple hours, if not a couple days, and that makes me very angry. You're like the largest soccer site.
Failing ESPN FC, putting out fake news, and it's very sad.
Yeah, they're basically the BuzzFeed of soccer.
The failing ESPN FC
covering these planned protests, which is very sad, disgraceful.
I'm just saying. I mean, we all write. I don't ever submit an article that has a spelling error. I read through it very carefully to make sure I do.
Or we and have then I, editors.
And then, well, no. I make sure rarely. I don't submit without an error. Gavin,
I
don't know if you count.
Do I reread my stories after I write them?
I don't know if you count.
Submit. Type and submit.
But so I check through for errors, make sure that there's no problems, and then I send it to an editor who has to make sure that there's no problems that I didn't miss, mm-hmm. and then it gets published. And if it ever does get published with an error, the internet lets us know, and I feel like shit, so I make sure it never happens. And I don't write for anything nearly as big as ESPN.
Wait.
The internet lets you know when you made a mistake?
I know, it's shocking, right?
Big if true.
It's just all about ethics and game journalism. That's an inside baseball joke. I feel like I'm the only one who's laughing at that.
About Gamergate?
We'll go to the next topic.
Gavin, do you have anything?
No.
Brad?
Chinese Kung Fu Master shows off balls of steel.
Oh my god, I saw that video.
Like actual balls of steel?
Like people kicked him in the balls repeatedly.
I've seen that.
The Chinese Kung Fu Master has shown off his ball-breaking stamina by repeatedly being hit in the crotch. Master Wei Yaobin, known in China as the, quote, Iron Crotch Kung Fu Master. He trained students in how to take blows to the crotch. There's a video of him and his students, like, subjecting them to being, like, kicked and being hit with battering rams and, like...
Yeah, someone took a battering ram to the dick.
Jesus.
And they're just like, yeah, I took that.
Master Wei says he wants to make his martial arts style, quote, more popular and accepted by the public, quote. He says he practices helps overcome erectile dysfunction and premature ejaculation. However, it is unknown how many men have been known to join him.
You can't prematurely ejaculate if you can't ejaculate at all.
Yeah,
that's actually a pretty good rule.
You know.
So it works. It means everyone should do it. All right, guys. Next week on the Fourth Official.
Next week on the Fourth Official, Austin learns how to take a battering ram to the crotch.
We're actually going to have that one live on Periscope, so definitely tune into that one.
So you want to tune into the pre-show.
Absolutely.
All right, my weird news story stays on a similar topic. Male doctor invents, quote, labia lipstick designed to glue a vagina shut during a period.
Whoa.
And it's a doctor, but it's a chiropractor that invented this. So a back doctor invented a lipstick to glue a vagina shut during their period. Like, what? And
Kyle, keep your lip shut.
His name is Dr. Dan Dupes. And he has a apparently staggering lack of knowledge of how the female body works. And he really.
Wait. His last name is Dupes.
Yes.
Like, as in, like, he tricks you into doing something.
Yeah. Somebody's sure. Definitely getting duped into this.
Professional.
He calls it the Menzies adhesive vaginal lipstick. It's a he calls it a natural combination of amino acids and oils. And he designed it so they stick together strong enough to prevent leakage.
How are they supposed to pee?
I don't know. He doesn't understand anything, so that's just
why.
Why not?
I'm gonna venture a guess that he's single.
Yeah,
I'm gonna assume that one.
Oh no, a guy like that has definitely bought a wife.
Crushing it.
What is?
He's probably crushing it right now.
Drowning in pussy.
Yeah, he's up to his neck.
Maybe that's why he needed to create this, just to help slow it down a little bit.
All right,
it's too much. Skin's gonna burn off if I this up.
All right, let's move on. We got the final thing of our show, which we do every week: predictions. Last week we picked all the Champions League games, but those obviously haven't finished, so we can't.
Oh my god!
Let him know.
Leicester almost did the dumbest thing ever.
Oh, I didn't see it. So just to make a note here,
he almost headed the ball in as an own goal.
Whoops. So just a note here, for the PSG Barcelona game, we all picked Barcelona. For the Benfica Dortmund game, we all picked Dortmund, except for Brad, who picked Benfica. For the Bayern Munich Arsenal game, we all picked myself and Kyle picked Bayern.
Split.
Gavin and Brad picked Arsenal.
Wow, guys.
Let's see. The Real Madrid game, we all picked Madrid to win.
Which they actually win? Just lost 2-1.
Whoops.
Yeah.
So that'll be fun.
So these teams are just now playing their first leg like a week later?
Yeah.
So Atletico, we all picked Atletico. The Monaco-Man City game, I picked Monaco. Gavin picked Man City. And then he's the only one who picked Man City.
Who did I pick in this one? Lester?
Yes. I picked Sevilla. Cool. Everyone else picked Lester.
Yeah.
We picked with our hearts.
All right, let's move
Austin
on.
Austin picked with his brain.
Sure.
And Fuchs almost just destroyed it with his head.
He fuked it up?
Almost.
All right. Here's our games for today. So the CONCACAF Champions League starts tonight.
Yeah.
New York Red Bulls against Vancouver. That's going to be the first game that
we pick. Those games stream on YouTube or Facebook now, don't they?
Yeah, CONCACAF.
Maybe that's what I was thinking of, is CONCACAF Champions League streams on there now.
Well, the CONCACAF Facebook page streams
yes.
it. Because I don't think there's a CONCACAF Champions League page anymore.
Probably not.
I was watching the Saprissa and Pachuca game yesterday, last night. I forgot how it ended. It was pretty boring.
Cool.
But today's Red Bulls in Vancouver?
Vancouver,
yes.
Yeah.
So.
Dallas plays tonight too, don't they?
Tomorrow. Yeah.
Mm.
They play Arabe Unido from Panama, which will be our next game to pick. So first, who you got tonight, Red Bulls or Vancouver? Gavin.
I'm going to go with the Red Bulls on this one.
Kyle?
I'm also going to go with...
Nope. I'm going to go with Vancouver.
Brad?
Red Bulls in Vancouver?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say Red Bulls.
Mike?
Red Bulls.
Speaking of Red Bulls, Hellboy 3 is not happening. In case you guys were looking forward to that.
Red Bull... Sure. Okay, so now Dallas and Arabe Unido from Panama.
Where's this game
Dallas.
At?
Pretty sure in Dallas. Yeah.
Dallas, they're just a freaking good team.
Yeah. Still preseason for them, though, so you never know.
Who they signed this offseason?
It's a two-leg, isn't it? No, this is group stage, right?
Knockout.
Yeah, no, this is knockout.
Oh, this is knockout?
This is knockout. Yeah. Two legs, though.
Oh, okay, so if it's two legs, I'm going to go with the draw on this. Well, I have to pick whoever's going to win the leg.
Right.
Oh, boy. I'm going to go Dallas.
Who they signed this offseason?
They had some draft picks.
That too?
Wait, if we're going with who's winning the leg, I'm definitely going with Vancouver.
You're going to say they win the whole thing? Or the leg?
They're going to capture an away goal tonight and then take it in Vancouver.
Okay. Kyle, who you got? Dallas or Arabe Unido?
Dallas.
Brad?
Y'all know MLS teams aren't very good when it comes to this whole CONCACAF Champions League, right?
Yeah, but do you not have pride in your country? Do you hate America?
I'm taking that team from Panama.
All right. Cool. Well, I'm going to make sure...
He's Canadian.
Thanks for serving our country, asshole.
Going to make sure we get you on the next plane to Gitmo.
I'm going to take Dallas as well. Okay, now for the EFL Cup. That's happening. Man U is going to be playing Southampton. So who you got? This is the final, by the way.
Yep, the EFL Cup. Manchester United.
Yeah.
Southampton's terrible, right?
United will win. I mean, they're obviously not that bad.
Southampton's like the top 10, right?
I'm not sure, but you just have a Man United side that's pretty, you know.
Pretty good now.
Hey, how did this Man U game end?
1-0 Man U.
Well, yeah, 1-0. Yeah,
and it was 4-0 on aggregate, so nothing really gone.
Yeah. Well, anyways, you have a Mourinho guy, you know, Mourinho.
He
wants some trophies.
All right, three more games to go. First interesting one in La Liga, Barcelona versus Atletico Madrid.
Oh, is this this weekend?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Gavin, who you got?
Is this league or Copa?
League.
Atletico.
Kyle?
I think Barcelona is going to continue bouncing back from that PSG loss.
Okay. Brad?
And I think Atletico is still going to win.
Oh, well.
Left them hanging.
Brad, who you got?
I'm going to say Barcelona, but yeah, it's not going to be like the Barcelona we're used to seeing where they just like smother teams. It's going to be close.
Yeah, well, Neymar might be going to jail, so you know that's
gonna,
a thing too.
I'm
going to
Athletic go with Madrid in this one.
Mike, who you got?
Well, Barcelona's not looked good at all.
No.
They lost to PSG.
Mm-hmm.
They, was it Sociedad? They just played this. Sociedad gave them a run for their money.
Yeah.
Even though
they got bailed out in the last minute.
That wasn't a penalty.
Yeah, it wasn't.
So I'm going to say Atletico Madrid.
All right.
And Torres is going to score.
I wonder how quickly.
Because he has like 5 goals in 4 games.
I know, that's fantastic.
So he's going to keep that streak going.
I'm going to Atletico as well.
I wonder how quickly Enrique Luis starts feeling the pressure on his job.
Wait, where's this game going to be
fan
played?
Out in, if they fan out in this Champions League.
This game is going to be held in Madrid.
Ooh, yeah. Diego Simeone is going to go bananas.
You think he's
Yaya bananas?
Yeah, that too.
You think he survives the rest of the season if they fan out in the against?
Well, I mean, I think the Barcelona president just came out recently saying that he, you know, he loves Luis Enrique there.
Dreaded vote of confidence.
But I don't know.
So I mean, this is Champions League is what they live for.
You have Sampioli.
And you fan out in the round of 16.
You have Sampioli from Sevilla getting linked to Barcelona now.
It'll be interesting.
All
right, last two games. Marseille versus PSG in Ligue 1. Gavin?
Marseille against PSG. Yeah. I like PSG in this one.
Marseille just made some really big signings, too.
I like PSG in this one.
Didn't Payet go over there?
Payet, former Orlando City target.
The last time I picked against PSG, they kicked my ass. So.
Yeah, Gregory Sertic.
I got PSG.
It's a fair bet. Kyle?
I'm going to go with Marseille.
Marseille,
whatever.
Marseille.
Like I give a shit what France calls their teams.
You better start Marseilleing those things, right?
Gavin, that was good. That was pretty good. That was good. That's good.
All right. Brad.
PSG.
I'm going to go PSG as well.
What channel is
penalty.
Porto Juventus?
Penalty. Sevilla got a penalty.
Whoops.
Well.
Good job, guys. All right, and speaking of Leicester, that's our last game that we're going to be picking. Leicester is going to be playing Liverpool.
Liverpool. I'm never picking Leicester again, ever,
yeah.
As long as I live.
5,000-1 odds that they win that game, let me tell
look
you
at
what.
Look at this. Oh, what an idiot. Wes Morgan.
Wes Morgan, the captain, just went in.
Jesus.
He kind of like pulled his leg up quick, though, to be fair. Still.
Yeah, but not... quick enough to
no not quick enough
at all.
Right, who says he trips the keeper?
Is this the prediction on the podcast? I say he goes bottom left.
I say he's Scott Sterling's and makes a save off his face.
Casper Schmeichel, what do you say?
He's gonna make it,
but where?
Bottom left,
man. Way to rip me off.
Here we go.
Captivating audio for people who are listening to a penalty that's
make sure you watch this.
This hear it.
Face save.
Oh, he went bottom left, but it got saved.
That was an easy save. That was a terrible penalty. It was like barely hit.
Wait, who shot that?
I don't know, but he was bad.
Yeah. I would like to state for the record that Austin's going to have to dig through the audio to see if I said he would make it. I just said he would go bottom left. I don't know if I said he would make it.
I was the only one that said he would save it.
Blame the penalty kick taker.
It was bad.
Wow. That was bad, and you should feel bad for that one.
It was Joaquin Correa.
He's going to be walking home after this.
Ha! Good one. All right. So everyone taking Liverpool in that last match?
Oh, yeah.
100%.
Cool. All right. That's it. Mike, thanks for coming on.
Hey.
For being our first ever guest on this show.
It was a pleasure.
48 episodes in.
Oh, yeah. He is technically the first ever guest.
Yeah, because we can't be bothered.
It's true.
All right. Well, that'll do it.
We don't know.
Yeah. That'll do it for us. We'll be back next week to break down the last preseason game for Orlando City, and as well as all the other MLS World Soccer news, and come back for all the fun here on the Fourth Official. Thanks for joining us.
Somebody once told me the world is gonna roll me. I ain't the sharpest tool in the shed. She was looking kind of dumb with her finger and her thumb in the shape of an L on her forehead. I got
The rap patrol on the cat patrol. Foes that want to make sure my cask is closed. Rap critics to say he's money cash holes. I'm from the hood, stupid. What type of facts are those? If you grew up with hoes, then you're zapped with toes. Just celebrate the minute you was having dope. I'm like, fuck critics.